540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. President Biden is back at the White House after spending over 7 hours in Israel, showing support for the country in its war against Hamas. CBS's Charlie Daggett with details of the historic trip.
It wasn't long after President Biden touched down in Tel Aviv to the embrace of a prime minister at war that he addressed the hospital explosion that's left hundreds of people dead.
And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you.
The other team, meaning Palestinian militants, citing U.S. intelligence.
The BBC says the British prime minister is in Israel now. In Washington yesterday, hundreds of Jewish activists in support of the Palestinians protested in the Cannon House building on Capitol Hill to demand a ceasefire. CBS's Scott McFarlane was there.
This was a particularly loud and disruptive protest that forced police to shutter many of the entrances on Capitol Hill, some of the roads nearby, and arrest some of those involved who they say didn't follow police instructions. The group called themselves Jews on behalf of Palestinians, calling for peace in the Middle East, but they didn't follow the rules, police say, requiring arrests.
Will the third time be a charm? Still no House Speaker, as Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan couldn't muster up enough votes again. Here's correspondent Nicole Killian.
Jim Jordan did lose two additional votes. Obviously, there were 20 who voted against him yesterday, now 22 today, although he did flip some people for him, but also more against him.
Another vote is expected today. Joran van der Sloot has finally admitted to killing Natalie Holloway in Aruba in 2005. CBS's Janet Shamlian was in the courtroom in Birmingham, Alabama.
There were dozens of family members and Natalie's friends in the courtroom, many of them breaking down when Beth Holloway addressed the court saying, "I will live my life with the beautiful memories of who Natalie was and what she could have become."
Ford says it's laying off another 150 workers in Michigan because of the ongoing auto worker strike.
Ford says UAW's walkout last week at its Kentucky truck plant prompted the new layoffs at a Michigan axle plant. Another 16,600 Ford employees are on strike at three assembly plants, including Kentucky Truck, the company's largest plant worldwide. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will stick around for three more years. His contract was extended through 2027. How much is he getting? Hasn't been disclosed yet, but there's speculation. It's probably more than $60 million per year. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
There's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Wednesday, October 18th, 2023, 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zommers, what time is it?
Pump day!
Fantastic. Had his finger right on it. That is fantastic. Glad to have you in on another great Wednesday here across Civic Media in Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. As per usual, it is Crossover Wednesday, and we welcome in the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, on the banks of beautiful Lake Wistota, and from our nation's capital, our ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Gentlemen, welcome all.
Hello, hello, hello.
Very good. Thank you. Absolutely. Pat, I want to start with you because you've been talking on your program as a not just a radio show host and a broadcaster, but I think this is a really important point. From a perspective as a former legislator, what's been going on in the last 48 hours with the current iteration of the legislature in historic numbers voting down Governor Evers' appointments? Fill us in, please.
Well, and it's not so much voting down the appointments, because if they did that, say, in the short period after Governor Evers took office 5 years ago, or almost 5 years ago, that would be one thing. But the perversion of the process that Republicans have enabled means that instead of confirming his appointments right away, they leave them sit. And that way they can come in and do their jobs, but at any point they can come in and say, we don't like the job they're doing, so now we're going to vote to confirm them, reject the confirmation, and that fires them. That's not what a confirmation process is supposed to look like. A duly elected governor is supposed to be able to choose the citizen servants who want to sit on these boards and councils, run these agencies and departments. It is once again taking the Republicans taking the will of the voters and throwing it in the dumpster. That's what they've been doing, talking about trying to impeach a state Supreme Court justice, trying to fire or impeach the head of the State Elections Commission. Now they've gone ahead and they have fired one of the Democratic members of the Elections Commission by rejecting his nomination, and doing the same thing for several members of the Natural Resources Board, former legislators who were serving on boards as well. So there's no professional courtesy. And again, this is not normal. This isn't a case of, oh, both parties do this tit for tat thing. No, it's never been done like this before. And it is either, and I'm going to ask this question tomorrow on my show, is this the dying gasp of an extreme fringe due for its comeuppance for its arrogance, or is this a harbinger of things to come if voters continue to not punish this increasingly authoritarian behavior?
Pat, I know our friends up north, well, friends there too, but our friends As Goes Wisconsin, Jane and Greg, were reading some of this story you have on Up North News Radio via Courier News Service. I believe they pointed out, according to you, if, correct me if I'm wrong, only five times in the last, what, 50 years has a gubernatorial appointment been voted down?
Since 1981, and that quote came from a press release from Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard. So that's where I plucked that from for the article. And I don't know, when she says since 1981, those five rejections, if they include the way that Republicans fired Brad Paff as state ag secretary a couple of years back. But again, it pales in comparison to the eight firings that were done yesterday for nothing involving crimes and misdemeanors or any kind of hijinks, but just nakedly partisan politics.
Trigvi Olson, you served under former Republican Governor Scott McCallum. If this had happened to some of McCallum's appointments, Republicans would have gone ballistic.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's a, you know, the thing that people have to ask themselves about whether something on their own side is normal democracy or the crazy that we're seeing is, how would you respond if the other side were doing it? And I would be interested, you know, Pat's been in the state Senate. When you were in the state Senate and nominees came forward, what criteria did you use?
Was the person who was making the appointment the duly elected governor of the state? And then, look, the confirmation process is supposed to be a safeguard. It's to say, all right, you can't just put any lackey in there if there's something that makes them unqualified, something that might indicate they're being corrupt. It's how we make sure we don't have kings who, you know, kings who can just appoint anybody they want. There's got to be at least some kind of a guardrail on the process. And this is such a blatant abuse of that process that it deserves to be talked about, even if most people will go, oh, that's inside baseball, I don't know, I don't care. Somebody's got to be sounding the alarm about this because it deserves it.
I couldn't agree more. But Trigvi?
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, it's outrageous, and you're seeing it at the federal level, you're seeing it in states across the country. And in reality, the sad part is, you know, in a state like Wisconsin, it's not who we are. And it isn't who we've been. And the idea that we're becoming that is sad. It's embarrassing.
Pat Kreitler, I left you all 30 seconds. We have a new person in the race for 3rd District. We have two very prominent Democrats in the race for the 3rd District congressional seat. I know you're following that closely. The Democrats have too many people?
Well, at the moment, it'll be five, and we're going to talk to the latest one, Eric Wilson, Friday morning at about 7:20. You have two women with elected experience. You have a third woman who won the majority of counties last year in the primary. So those are fair questions, and we'll ask him about that on Friday morning.
Up North News every morning, 6 to 8. Pat Kreitler, you're fantastic. Thank you so much, my friend.
You.
We'll see you later. Trigvi Olson on the other side. Don't go to where this is the Todd Elbow Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 60 today under overcast skies with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 48. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 59. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, take two on a Wednesday, October 18th, 2020. I thought we were starting the show over, Mr. Zombers. I thought we were starting again.
Oops.
You're fine. Mr. Zombers on the board. Our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigvi Olson, joins us. He is the senior advisor currently at the Lincoln Project, and formerly a Republican like myself. Like myself, he left the party for his own reasons, and a former legislative, you know, the term that people thought when they're being rude, they would call me a legislative flack. A flack. But if you look it up, I would just, a spokesperson is a flack. So, I mean, well, yeah, I was a flack.
Honestly, your job is to convey messaging as best you can. The problem is that a lot of these flacks now have become, in the internet driven media age, instead of conveying where their politicians that are working for stand, they become media personalities of themselves, and they're constantly wanting to try and feed the
That's so true, beast. Right? Because they look at, you know, Sean Spicer, and then they look at, you know, well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she became governor. You know, I mean, what do you make of this, Trigvi? Because I said this earlier in this week, and I want you to tell me if I'm right track or wrong track on this. I said Donald Trump is influencing the Speaker of the House election without influencing the Speaker of the House election. And I meant to, I had explained it this way. I said, I think what we have here in these 10 to a dozen, I still believe there are a few sane Republicans. They have no spine. They don't speak out. But I think there are a few people in that caucus that are sane. Then you have, I think, what's the majority of the Trumpism caucus that doesn't have any spine at all and at some level or another supports Trump and Trump ideology. And then you have just the cuckoo bird wacko caucus of about 10 to a dozen people. And I think that they are looking at Trump and what he did in 16. And it's like being a narcissist and all about you and disinformation. It propels you onto this celebrity level. And I don't think they give a damn about government. I don't think they give a damn about the United States of America or any other country in the world. It is this narcissistic obsession with themselves, to be double negative or redundant. But I think that these people that voted out Kevin McCarthy, I think that's all they care about. And they don't care that they've blown up democracy. Oh, not blown up democracy, but blown up the institution. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, I mean, I think that's true. Really, they're like the chaos caucus, right? And a lot of them, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whether it most of them, it's out of self-interest, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're sitting there, they become a celebrity of sorts within an ecosystem. And it's a career path in some ways, because I think a lot of these guys, you know, they want, you know, if Rachel Campos Duffy can rumored to be getting half a million a year to be on Fox and spew nuttiness, what can some of them get? You know, it's the contract. And so it really is unfortunate because they are not being legislators and representatives in the sense that the founding fathers wanted.
There was
intended.
There was another speaker's vote about an hour or so ago. Watched it, took notes, and Jim Jordan, who has taken a second run at this speakership here in terms of votes, actually had a net loss of 2 this afternoon. Final vote count, all Democrats voting for Hakeem Jeffries, 212 votes. Gymnasium GYM Jim Jordan, 199. Steve Scalise, 7. Kevin McCarthy, 5. And 10 votes for other people. That is a total of 22 people in the Republican caucus that voted for someone other than Jim Jordan. Actually lost 2 votes. Trigvy, the news I think that came out of today, other than just the loss, Congressman Tom Cole, Republican of Oklahoma, gave the nominating speech for Jordan and said, I want to get this quote right, said that Jim Jordan would be, quote, unlike any other speaker we've had, unquote, due to his, quote, courage to talk about a long-term plan to get at the real drivers of debt, unquote. And then he went on to name those as being Medicare and Social Security. Mm-hmm. They're not even hiding it anymore, Trivi.
No. I mean, here's the thing. There is no doubt that, and people like Mitt Romney and serious people rather than the unserious, and actually Tom Cole, I think, is a serious person. But serious people will say there needs to be reform in Medicare and Social Security to keep them solvent. And ironically, people like you and I are right at the Gen Xers are right at the point where the whole thing goes belly up, right? We've been paying in our entire lives. And but that's a different conversation than what he is saying, because what they're really saying is they want to cut benefits.
Exactly.
I suspect.
I mean, when you and I were, you know, starting this whole thing, I mean, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. Ronald Reagan, Republican, Tip O'Neill, for those that might not have been around or don't remember, liberal, progressive, Democrat, powerful Speaker of the House. They sat down and reformed Social Security to keep it going. That's very different
than in a bipartisan way.
Right.
Bipartisanship.
Right.
And that gets to the heart of, when you make big changes, when there's real problems that have to be addressed, and this in Wisconsin, one example of this is Act 10. There's 2 ways you can go about it. You can go about it the way Scott Walker did, which really divided the state in ways that we're still not recovering from, which is we're going to do it our way because we can, and we're going to screw the other side. Or you can do it the way that traditionally we've done it in the United States, both sides working together to say, we have to address this problem. And that was the tradition in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy Thompson, work, not welfare, trying to create some mechanisms to address schools in Milwaukee, right? Mm-hmm. Working with the other side. Those were, you know, when I was working for McCallum, we were going over and meeting with Gary George and Polly Williams, Democratic legislators from the African-American community in Milwaukee, saying, where can we find common ground and how do we solve the problem? That's very different than saying we have a problem and it's our way 100% and we're just going to jam it down your throats.
I want to talk a minute about Jim Jordan because, again, you know, Matt Flynn uses the gymnasium GYM Jim Jordan because of the allegations at Ohio State that several wrestlers under oath have testified that Jim Jordan knew about the alleged sexual abuse from the team doctor and did nothing about it, then called them crying, begging them not to say anything because it would ruin his professional and congressional political career. Perhaps even as disturbing, if not more disturbing to at least some people than that, is the fact that Liz Cheney in the January 6th committee has said repeatedly that he was one of the key, if not the key player, helping former President Trump plan an insurrection. We have a cut, I believe this is from Newsmax. This is from January 5th, the night before the insurrection. This is what Jim Jordan was going on television talking about his plan for January 6th.
How does this work? It sounds like it could get chaotic in there. What happens after the debate?
If you get an objection from a United States senator and an objection from a member of the House of Representatives on the same state, then they retire. Each body retires to their respective chambers, and you have a debate for 1 hour for each side, a 2-hour debate, 1 hour for the pro-objecting the people who support objecting to the acceptance of the electors, and 1 hour for the folks who oppose it. That debate will unfold, and then there will be a vote. Depending on what happens, if those electors are objection, if that prevails, they won't be accepted. And in this situation, Joe Biden's electoral count number would go down by whatever that state electors that number is. And then you move on to the next state, and then it proceeds in an alphabetical order.
Instead of saying less than 24 hours after January 6th happened, look, Joe Biden won the election, we're going to certify it, move on. That was Jim Jordan's response. Fast forward to yesterday, CNN, Jake Tapper, had on Ken Buck, Republican of Colorado, and this is what he was saying, why he would not be able to support Jim Jordan for Speaker of the House.
You're a very conservative Republican. It's very important to you that whoever is the next Speaker of the House acknowledge the fact that Joe Biden won the presidency. It's just a fact that he did, and you want the next Speaker to acknowledge that.
I want the next Speaker to acknowledge that. I also want to make sure that we don't have somebody who was involved in the activities surrounding January 6th. And I think that if we have a presidential candidate who right now is leading, who denies that he lost the election and was obviously behind what happened on January 6th, and we have a Speaker in a similar situation, we have 20 Republicans sitting in Joe Biden districts right now, districts that Joe Biden won in 2020, and those 20 Republicans are going to be at risk. There's no way we win the majority if the message we send to the American people is that we believe that the election was stolen, and we believe that January 6th was okay. It was a tour of the Capitol.
And I think that there are...
Trigvi Olsen, your boss, at least at the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson, tweeted out this week that if Jim Jordan is elected Speaker of the House of Representatives, that the Democratic Republic may well fall.
Yeah, it certainly, would not be a good thing for the Republic if Jim Jordan becomes Speaker of the House. I think people need to remind themselves, in this last vote, in both votes, really, 10% of his own caucus didn't vote for him. I think, in normal times, and I feel like it's Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray here sometimes.
Great movie,
because
by the way.
We talked about this with Kevin McCarthy. In normal times, what you would do is you'd go to Hakeem Jeffries and Nancy Pelosi, and you'd say, hey, listen, I need, 10 Democrats cross over, or 15, or whatever the number is. Jim Jordan can't do that. Heck, he enabled the mob that came in and wanted to kill Nancy Pelosi. Why would Nancy Pelosi or any of the Democrats support that? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you would think an American should be demanding that you have 217 reasonable people in the United States Congress who say, you know what, there's 320 million Americans. Any American can be the Speaker of the House. We can find one that we can all agree on. But we don't seem to have that. And when you have people like Mike Gallagher and Stile, I'm going to call them out. I'm not even going to the crazy that is Grothman or some of the others. I'm going to call them up. They literally are putting their committee chairmanships over what they know is right. They literally have done that time and time again. And they didn't do it when it came to impeachment. That tells us all we need to know about Mike Gallagher, who admittedly is a very smart guy and a very good guy. But he has the ambition of being Secretary of State during a Republican administration at some point, and he doesn't want to have the courage to potentially tube his own career by doing the right thing. And that says what we need to know about Mike Gallagher. And I hate to say that because I think Mike's a good guy, but he's not acting as a good guy. He's acting as a self-interested guy.
I think it's a great point, and I think it's a fair one. And, I don't know. I mean, you and I know some of these people, you more so than me, and you can have drinks or dinner with them, and you can say, yeah, they seem like normal people. But then when they go vote, it's completely contrary to what they seem to be. So which one is it? Which one of these is the real person? We'll come back and talk about more of that. Also, we have a cut from Rachel Maddow asking a very important question and your phone calls. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Give us a call back after this. This is the Tana Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is back at the White House after a trip to Israel, where he said they were not responsible for the blast that killed hundreds at a Gaza hospital.
Our Defense Department says it's highly unlikely that it was Israelis would have a different footprint.
CBS's Chris Livesay says a lot of Palestinians would love to flee the violence, but Egypt refuses to take in refugees.
We're told by former officials will probably lead to Egypt one day opening up its doors, but only once its hand is forced, only once there is the risk or the actual manifestation of a human stampede.
Still no Speaker of the House after Republicans failed to elect Jim Jordan for a second time.
Picked up some today, a couple dropped off, but they voted for me before. I think they can come back again. So we'll keep talking to members.
Another vote is expected later today. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
A great football matchup brewing as Carroll University welcomes Wheaton College to Schneider Stadium this Saturday, October 21st. The Pioneers, 4-1. Thunder, 5-1. Rank 13th in the country and 2nd in the CCIW. You can catch all of the action live with Don, Johnny, and Triple G. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1 p.m. It's the Pios and the Thunder this Saturday afternoon on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Truth, wherever that may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattleball Show on a Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. Mr. Zomers on the board, 33 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome in. I'm Tattleball. Welcoming in as well our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project. Welcome, Trigvi. Always appreciate you having you here. Going to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Talking a little bit about this speaker's race. Jim Jordan has lost on the floor of the House of Representatives for the second time, actually losing 2 votes overall, losing to Hakeem Jeffries, 212 to 199, and 22 votes for other people. 844-967-2789. Let's stay right here in Dane County. Sun Prairie, as a matter of fact. Chris in Sun Prairie, appreciate you listening and calling in. What say you?
Yes, well, thank you for your radio station, which I love to listen to and love all your programming. I always can't find it on the dial, but I do appreciate what you do. Now, the reason I'm calling is I have a solution for the Israeli-Palestinian problem.
Okay.
And the reason is that we have a large number of people fighting or contesting a small amount of space. And what seems really unusual to me is we've got many states here in the United States, we've got provinces in Canada, there's other places around the world where actually it's not worth dying for, you know, worrying about your little corner of space in Palestine or Israel, when we could actually have a new state of Israel. You can call it New Israel or whatever you wanted. And this is really an important idea because, you know, you can't obliterate the culture of Judaism or of Islam, anything like that. But there has to be more space in the world, you know, for people to enjoy their cultures and their lives and to go about their lives, you know, nonviolently without without the risk of being murdered or decapitated or whatever happens to them. So
Chris.
My modest suggestion is that in the United States or in Canada or someplace that it's, that's sufficient. There's, we've got wonderful farmland in this whole country. This is a beautiful continent that Israel could be relocated. And now I've
known, thanks, Chris. I got to run another call. I appreciate the call. We're going to get to the Israel situation and Hamas in just a minute, Trigvi. But I want to finish up on this this question. And Mr. Zalmers is doing a call, so we're not going to actually do the cut here. But Rachel Maddow was on MSNBC yesterday, and I want to get to this because this is something that you've talked about on this show, not in direct relation to Jim Jordan, but just in democracies around the world. You've had experience in international diplomacy and helping democracies around the world. Rachel Maddow asked last night, kind of rhetorically, but said, you know, if Jim Jordan were elected Speaker of the House, could we ever trust that the House of Representatives would certify an election in which Donald Trump was a candidate and legitimately lost? I think that's a fair question.
100% fair. I mean, it gets to part of the heart of the issue, right? And Jim Jordan isn't from the center. Well, he's from the center of gravity of the Republican caucus. I don't think, I mean, you would have to ask that question. I mean, Jim Jordan was central to enabling the people who came into the Capitol. And Jim Jordan himself, much like what's his name from Missouri,
Josh Hawley,
whose name is
Hawley, Josh Hawley. Yeah,
you know, Jim Jordan was running out of the Capitol too.
Yeah.
In fact, he had the audacity to go to Liz Cheney and say, "Can I help get you out?" And she basically dropped an F bomb on him and told him he caused it. Which, knowing Liz, good for her, and
right,
not out of the norm.
Right. And she confirmed that, actually.
She's a tough lady.
she certainly is. Before we move
on, she doesn't suffer fools gladly. And Jim Jordan may, in fact, be a fool.
Very quickly, who do you see? There's some rumblings that, you know, Republicans may eventually say, let's enable Patrick McHenry, the Speaker pro tem right now, either in a greater role or just put him in that role. Is that viable? Is it viable to think that McCarthy could come back around somehow? Do you have any gut feeling of how this is going to end or resolve?
No. I mean, that's like predicting the impossible, what right. they're going to end up doing. I mean, McHenry is a possibility, but here's the thing. You have to remember, this is not the first time, and McCarthy wasn't the first time. I mean,
right.
McCarthy was in line to be speaker. Paul Ryan really struggled to be speaker, and at the time was really the only person who could get elected. Mm. You know, this has been, this gets to the heart of the problem of the Republican Party.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines again, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We have Sandy listening in over in Milwaukee. Sandy, we appreciate you calling. You have something on Mike Gallagher you wanted to share and ask Trigvi.
Yeah, I guess I wanted a clarification, so I apologize. I actually entered or started listening late when I got into my car. But were you disagreeing that Mike Gallagher should run, or did you want him to run, just as somebody who actually was in his area for many years, knew him in other circles? I think that it would be interesting if he would run. I agree with you. I think he's extremely level-headed and just calm. I think he is voiced his opposition to Trump in many ways, and I think that that might actually would hold him back in some of the circles currently. But wrong. But it sounded like one of you said that, you know, this doesn't align with his future goals, and so it would be almost selfish for him to run. Or not to run because it doesn't align with his goals. Did I hear that correctly?
We weren't talking specifically about him running, but I'll let Trigvi clarify his own comments. But that is something, Trigvi, that's out there, that there is kind of a draft Mike Gallagher campaign for speaker. But clarify for Sandy what you were saying and then what are your thoughts.
Yeah, what I was saying about, well, Mike Gallagher, what I was saying about Mike Gallagher, what's unfortunate about Mike Gallagher is that Mike has, to some degree, you know, he knows what's going on with Donald Trump, kind of to your point, is wrong. He's danced around the edges, but when it's come time to cast votes of courage, true to his convictions, he's not doing that. He wanted to vote for impeachment. He thought that that would be disqualifying for some of his future ambitions if he did, it appears, based on what he said to other people. Again, in the speaker's race, you know, I believe that he understands the role Jim Jordan played in what happened on January 6th, which clearly troubled him. And yet he's going along with Jim Jordan because he understands that the committee he's the chair of, the Speaker of the House appoints. That's my point. It's really unfortunate to see good people ending up out of personal ambition or out of fear of consequences of what it would mean for them, casting votes that they know deep down aren't probably the right thing to do. And that's what I'm saying about Mike.
That cleared up for you, Sandy?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And thank you. I guess, yep. And I agree with you. I feel like what makes me sad about the state that we're in right now is that it feels like so many people are doing that, which is just shocking to me. Just as long as I've been alive, it doesn't seem to have been as bad as it is today. And voting in ways where I get it. I understand politics is a dirty business, but it's just sad to me. So thank you for that clarification.
Thank you for the call, Sandy. Thanks for listening. Go ahead,
Sandy. That's a great point, and I'm glad you called in. Yeah. It is disappointing, and it's particularly disappointing when you know the people.
I'll keep going to the phones. Up in Gene here in Sun Prairie. Another call from Sun Prairie. Appreciate it. On the phone lines, Gene, you have a comment about Jim Jordan. Go ahead.
Yes, I think Jim Jordan is the partisan bomb thrower who has no interest in legislating. He has never introduced any successful legislation in the House. He has viewed his role as a MAGA spokesperson who wants to throw nails under the tires of everything that's heading through that in terms of government. He wants to shut the government down. He wants Donald Trump to be reelected. He clearly was involved in planning for the insurrection on January 6th. He is a miserable excuse for someone that the Republicans want to put up for speaker. And I am very proud of those 22 people today that would not vote for him. And as I've been listening to the experts, they think that if Jordan goes for a third round, he'll lose even more votes because they know that Jordan is not qualified to be speaker. And I think we really need to cast an eye on those Republicans that know better from our state, Stile and Gallagher had no business voting for Jordan. They are not the far right MAGA that he is. If they are interested in governing, and they seem to be, they have no business supporting him. So what I think will happen is we'll have this, probably this resolution introduced by James Joyce, the Republican from Pennsylvania, to give the temporary Speaker Patrick McHenry a little more power so they can at least move legislation to the floor and try to govern.
Really appreciate
that. Seems to be a compromised position.
Really appreciate the call, Gene. Thank you so much. Trigvi, former Speaker Republican John Boehner went so far as to call Jim Jordan, quote, a legislative terrorist, unquote.
Yeah, and here's the thing. He went to that woke school of indoctrination, according to Scott Walker, the University of Wisconsin.
Right.
And I can understand now why I were critical of the Regents and the UW system. Maybe they were onto something about rebranding. Jim Jordan becomes speaker, they right. might want to make the colors of the UW teal and yellow.
Very quickly, let's go to Ross in Crawford County out in the beautiful Driftless area, my home part of the state. Ross in Crawford County, what say you?
Hi, Todd. I'd like to make just 2 points.
Sure.
The general point is I think right now with such a close Congress where the Republicans have such a kind of a slim majority, you know, of course, they're driven by the radical wing, and it's the radical wing of any party, could be the Democrats either, that really drive the politics. Most of us are just kind of status quo, go along, hope the system works, we vote, and that's about the most that most of us do. But if there's a core group of people that are obsessed with an issue, like Jim Jordan and Getz and some of these other people, they're going to drive the party because they have the power, because we have such a slim minority. So not much is going to get done in Congress for the next few years, probably.
Quickly, the second point, we're kind of running out of time, but go ahead quickly, please.
Okay. The second point is the third district. We have Representative Van Orden, and Van Orden also voted for Jordan, and Jordan is a deficit hawk. If he has his way, he's going to have budgets that are going to cut the military, and I think Van Orden's head is going to explode.
Great point. Ross in Crawford County, thanks so much. Trigvi, what say you?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, our callers, Todd, you should be really proud. They're making great points, and they really get it.
Yep.
Second, I would say that, you know, he's spot on. There is a way out of it, though. And the way out of it is what was happening. Think about Reagan. Reagan had Democrats, the Democrat majority in the House. He got together with Tip O'Neill, and Republicans and Democrats voted together for stuff. Same happened with Bill Clinton. You know, John Kasich and others, even with Newt, worked together with Democrats and passed things that ultimately it's the only time that we've had a balanced budget. It can be done. The problem is that these 20 members, they could solve this tomorrow by going to the Democrats and saying, all right, let's put together a coalition of 217 and elect Bob as Speaker of the House, or Todd Albaugh, or whoever.
No, I wouldn't want it.
That's the way that you break it. You
right,
break it
right.
by, and Democrats, based on what I'm hearing from people who are in the room, Democrats are just sitting watching this, waiting and having some informal conversations. There is a block of Democrats that would vote to do this the same way that a bipartisan coalition came together to keep the government open. And then Kevin McCarthy went on the press, immediately walked over and gave an interview where he blamed Democrats.
Yeah, I mean
and that was why they didn't vote for Democrats. Kevin McCarthy would be there if he hadn't been trying to have it both ways. They've got to quit trying to have it both ways.
I couldn't agree with you more. This is all Kevin McCarthy's own doing. He went over and gave a big verbal middle finger to Democrats after they were prepared to save him. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up. We're going to take a break real quick, come back with more intriguing, more of your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Albaugh Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players.
We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast today with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 60. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 48. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs level off around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Lavoie Show. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, 10 minutes before the hour of 3, Wednesday, October 18th. Zomer's on the board. Mr. Trigby Olson joining us for our nation's capital. And you on the phone lines. Let's go quickly to the phones. Mark in the sack. Mark, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
What gets me is some of these people on both sides of the aisle probably need to be reminded that it's a constitutional duty to actually have a functioning government. I mean, the preamble of the Constitution, you know, says actually establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, to me, which means you have to have a continuation of government, you know, to provide, you know, to have stability in the country, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare. I mean, and for these Republicans that still support Donald Trump, they should remember that Donald Trump said it's not his duty to support the Constitution, where it actually says in the what preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, which they also took an oath to do. And, you know, Donald Trump says, well, I really don't need to do that because, you know, I don't know what the hell he thinks he is, but he must think he's some kind of king. And that getting to, you know, the Voting Rights Act that we should have reestablished with I can't remember the name now, that they tried to say, you know, have more protections for voting. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court should actually uphold the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which actually guarantees citizens the right to vote for their choice of electors, we're not voting for president, but their choice for electors, and that's supposed to be honored. And for the Congress not to honor the citizens' choice of electors, in my opinion, would actually be abridging that right, and which, you know, there is consequences for that.
Yep.
And I don't know how those consequences would be applied, you know, under the Constitution, because it's a little, you know, that's a little arcane for me to understand.
Right.
You know, it's Mark, a lack of representation.
Really appreciate the call, Mark. Up against the clock here. Appreciate it. Mark from the SAC. Trigby, your response?
Well, here's the thing. I just think these, you know, politics has become a career path for a lot of people. And so I think a lot of these people are putting self-interest ahead of common interest. And, you know, to his point, the caller's point, the Constitution is all about creating a system for common interest. Problem is that I think a lot of these guys know that, you know, Donald Trump wasn't somebody who was upholding elements of the Constitution. We saw on January 6th and certainly during his administration. But they're more interested in their self-interest of getting reelected and whatever. And so they're putting that ahead.
Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, former Republican like myself. You've worked for national people such as John McCain and Mitch McConnell. You've also done international work through a little bit through starting with McCain and then kind of on your own around the world. I want to get your take on a couple of things. Our time always goes too short, but I want to touch on a couple of things quickly. First, the situation, the war on Israel. President Biden was there over the last 24 hours, meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. During that time, there was an explosion in a hospital in Gaza, first accused of being Israeli. And now, according to reports on CNN and according to the United Nations, it appears, keyword appears, that was not an attack by Israel, but rather an explosion that may have been a mistaken explosion by Hamas in Palestine. The president said that it, quote, appears it was the other team, unquote. That was the direct quote from President Biden. There's a lot of fog in war, Trigvi, and in your international experience, what's just your general take, and what do you think that we here in the United States should be remembering about all this as it progresses?
Well, what you have to remember is both sides are trying to shape narratives for world opinion, and so and garner sympathy, but also mobilize their allies. And so when you have something like that, which was horrific, regardless of who hit the hospital, it's horrific that a hospital was, you know, mm-hmm. that many people in a hospital ended up dying. Hamas does have a long history of placing their militants using civilian shields. And so, you know, I just think if there ever were a reminder of the fact that the world requires serious people, it's this moment with both Ukraine and with what's going on in Israel in the Middle East. And, you know, it's getting bumpy. And honestly, while Rome burns, you got a bunch of Republicans fiddling. We don't have a working House of Representatives at the moment. Mm-hmm. Voters in America need to, the first question they have to ask themselves is, when they look at candidates, are they serious people? Mm-hmm. And we have elected an awful lot of people who are not serious or who are putting personal career interests ahead of common interest.
About 3.5-4 minutes left, closer to home, a major story we've been following throughout the week. University of Wisconsin System, and yes, that's what I'm still calling it, the University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman announced the closing not just now of Richland campus, but also the satellite campus, UW Fond du Lac, a satellite now of Oshkosh, also UW Washington County, a satellite of Milwaukee, and 1 in 6 jobs layoff gone at UW Oshkosh. More cuts to come, they say, next week at UW Platteville. There is a crisis, Trigvi, at the University of Wisconsin System.
Total crisis, and quite honestly, a crisis at the UW system and a crisis of the Wisconsin idea is a crisis for the state of Wisconsin, because in Fond du Lac and in Platteville and in Oshkosh, those universities are the core of the communities. Most of the people they provide are the doctors, the nurses, the teachers, the engineers that drive the state economy. And the idea that there seems to be a scattershot approach to all of this without giving a compelling reason and rationale for why they're doing this is outrageous. Instead, they're talking about branding.
Right. Spending $500,000 on lipstick on a pig with new branding. I've never seen, Trivia, again, you worked for former Governor Scott McCallum, Republican. I've never seen this total lack. I mean, I'm a supporter of Governor Evers. We are over 24 hours away from this. No comment that I can find from Governor Evers. Nothing from the Board of Regents, the president of the Board of Regents. Nothing from the chair of the Education Committee, the Higher Ed Committee, from Republicans up the street here in the legislature. I've never seen this void of information and transparency.
Yeah, I don't get what's going on and why the governor isn't speaking out. I mean, I don't know. I just think that if he really passionately cares about it, he would be engaging the way that, you know, Tommy Thompson or Jim Doyle would have engaged. And that means going out to all these communities and talking to people,
right?
Getting on TV. And
our mutual friend likes to remind us, these are public universities. Why isn't the public involved? Why isn't Jay Rothman going around having legit town halls with the public? He is closing these institutions without ever involving local people, let alone government. As a matter of fact, from the county board, the education chair, Linda Gentis in Richland County, Trigvi, found out that the campus was closing when I told her and had her on the show yesterday. Well,
and honest to God, it's not complicated. You know, people who want to lead in this state should be going and talking to the Chamber of Commerce,
right,
and the county board members and the civic leaders in all of those places. And saying, what do we do?
If you make $250,000 a year, you think you could figure that out. Thanks, Trivi. Appreciate you being here. See you next week. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And